Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon this morning will be on our gospel lesson, Luke chapter 17, where Jesus heals 10 lepers and only one returns to give thanks. And every week when I prepare a sermon, I look at my notes. Have I preached this text before? And the answer is, I have been a pastor for 25 years and have never once preached on this text. And I know exactly why I haven't, because I think there's a way to mishandle this text, and it's very easy to do. To read the narrative of Jesus healing 10 lepers and one coming back and giving thanks, it's too obvious to just say to people, you're not thankful enough. And I don't like that sermon, and I don't want to deliver that sermon. We're going to get there to talk about it, but I do want to look at this text. It's a delightful text, as it turns out. And although it's a short little text, there's lots of fun stuff. Now, I want to say something. We're going to take your bulletin out because we're going to work through it verse by verse and notice some important words. And this is not going to be like many sermons where the pastor says, you know, point one, point two, point three, that kind of sermon. We're just going to read through this narrative and find out the things that are going on in this fun little text. So, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. We need to pause over that. On the border between Samaria and Galilee. Samaria is a place that an Israelite would have avoided. Southern Israel, northern Israel, and between them is Samaria. You guys have heard in many sermons that Israel has been invaded over and over again by her enemies. And some of those enemies have imported people into Samaria, and people have intermarried. And the Samaritans are half Jewish, half Gentile. And they were reviled so much that a good Jew, if he wanted to go from South Israel to North Israel, you didn't walk through Samaria. What did you do? You walked all the way around it, except for Jesus. Jesus breaks that rule, and he's done it before. Actually, one of the most delightful passages in all of Scripture, John chapter 4, Jesus and the woman at the well. Remember that wonderful passage where Jesus meets this woman, tells her her history, and then she comes to faith. The part I love about John 4 is there's this little verse, it's easy to miss it. It says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. Literally, that's the words, had to go. Why did he have to go? To bring salvation to her, right? So society is full of outcasts and the people that you're not supposed to talk to and the people you're supposed to look down on. Jesus doesn't do it that way. He goes to Samaria, and as he's there, there's 10 men who have leprosy. Leprosy is the terrible disease of the ancient world. There's no cure for it. There is now. It was defeated here in the 20th century, right? Eradicated, basically. But in those days, if you got it, you had it. It disfigured your skin with horrible scars. You had to move out of town. You had to give up contact with your job, with your family, with your friends. You couldn't gather in a place of worship. It's funny to notice this. In Leviticus chapter 13, it gives the law on what happens if you have leprosy. It says literally in Leviticus 13:45, if you have leprosy, you have to wear tattered clothing so that people can see that you're a leper. And the text even says you have to have unkempt hair. I mean, if you have hair. Unkempt hair, and you have to wear a mask over your mouth. It's funny to read that verse in these post-COVID days. And whenever you went anywhere, you had to yell out, unclean, unclean. 10 lepers They're in an outcast region. They're lepers. They are outcast people. One of them is a Samaritan. He's triply outcast. And Jesus sees these men. I want us to catch what they say. It's very important. They say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Our translation said, "Have pity on us." I think "have mercy on us" is a better translation. Greek word, eleison. You sang it in the Kyrie. "Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on us." They have nowhere else to go. They've heard of Jesus. They're coming to the Savior to help them. And they call him Master. I want to catch this. They didn't call him Teacher. They didn't call him Prophet. They called him Master. What does that mean? That he's our Master and our Lord. So this is a question for us. These men are representative of us in many ways. To say Jesus, Master, that asks us, do we allow him to be our Master? Is Jesus the Lord and Master of our worldview? Do we spend moments in prayer when we deliberate this job versus that job? Shall I live in this town or that town? You see what I'm saying? Is Jesus Master? They call him that. So they say, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." The next words are really important. Verse 14, when he what? Saw them. Isn't that great? When he saw them. I want us to get this. Jesus sees. He knows. He knows what you're going through. He really does. The details and the particulars of what we go through in our daily lives, our minds and our hearts will tend to wonder, is God paying attention? Does he care? And the answer is, Jesus saw. And he looked at them. And he decided to heal them. The words of Jesus are kind of odd. You know that Jesus has healed many people, and those narratives can differ quite a lot. Very often, Jesus touches people. The blind man, it's kind of gross, actually. Jesus rubs mud into his eyes and says, "Rinse it off," and he sees. Sometimes he uses touch. He has actually touched other lepers. You're not supposed to touch a leper, but Jesus does. These guys, he doesn't do those things. What does he say? "Go, show yourselves to the priests." Now, here's what he's referencing. We already mentioned the law on what happens to lepers is Leviticus 13. Leviticus 14 is the law about what happens when you're healed. There's actually a way that if you've been healed, you go to the priest to show that you've been healed, and then he declares you clean. So Jesus is following the law, except for this crazy part of it. He says to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest," but they're not healed yet. You catch the sequencing? You're supposed to be healed first, then go to the priest. So why does Jesus say, "Go, show yourselves to the priest," before they're healed? What does he want from them? Faith and obedience. Right? To trust that he will heal. And they have to turn and go. Here's really important words. As they went, they were cleansed. Jesus said, "Go." What do they have to do? Go. As they went, they were healed. Imagine their skins covered in sores. He said, "Go, show ourselves to the priest," and they go do it. And as they walk, they can see, "My flesh is whole." Can you imagine? Now, the words, "as they went," I think are important because it's letting us know that healing is more often a process than an event. You hear it? More often a process than an event. And if there's things we need to heal of, it often happens in the going. You see what I'm saying? We often think, Lord, deliver me from this. And sometimes he does, and sometimes it's poof, done, right? Sometimes it's in the going and the continuing to go that the healing happens, and then you notice the Lord has worked. So one man, true enough, one man returns. He sees it. I love verse 15. He sees he's been healed, and he comes back praising God in a loud voice. You hear it? Praising God in a loud voice. Now that's verse 15. That is parallel to verse 13, which says that the men called out, how? In a loud voice. They called out in a loud voice. He praises God in a loud voice. Now, this is what I take out of that. I think that they're doing those things not paying attention to their own dignity. They're losing themselves in the calling out. Very often, we are concerned to maintain decorum, right? My family in particular, we are partly German and partly English. So what does that mean? We're pretty stiff. We're pretty concerned about what people think. These guys don't care. They call out in a loud voice. I want us to get the two things. Loud voice, two verses. One was calling out in his need, and the other was praising God. We're allowed to lose our dignity in those things. And so, true enough, Jesus says, where are the other nine? You should know this. Sometimes people read this text and say, are the other nine saved? The answer is the Bible seldom tells us who's saved or not. Here's an argument for thinking that they probably are. For one thing, they call Jesus Master. That's good. The other thing is Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest. So where are they headed? Off to the priest. They should have stopped and thanked the Lord. And it's not talking about whether they're saved or not. I think this is depicting something that's typical of most of us, I suspect. In our moments of prayer, we're very good at presenting to God our requests, right? I need this. Heal my loved one. Can you do this for me? But when God acts, what do we most often do? We do tend to forget to thank him. Not always, but often we forget to thank him. But this guy comes back and thanks the Lord. I've said a couple times, I think these guys are depicting us. I want to be careful here. I'm not saying that this is a metaphor. I'm not saying it's an allegory. This is an event, right? This is something that happened. There were 10 actual lepers. Jesus really healed them. But they're depicting a spiritual truth, and this is it. All of us here have a disease. What's that disease called? Sin. Sin is a spiritual leprosy. It stains. It makes us unclean. And what ought we do? Call out, right? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And what does he do? He makes us clean. Then what ought we do? Give praise and thanks. Not as a guilt trip. Like I said, I don't like that sermon, the guilt trip. When I do, I would say this. What are you doing here? You're here to praise the Lord. Right? That's what we're doing. We're singing his praises. Now, I get, my seminary professors would say, worship has two directions. True enough. There's the stuff that goes from God to us. There's the stuff that goes from us to God. True enough. The sacrament right here, that's God to us. Right? God has delivered that to us. But us singing his praises, that's us to God. That's appropriate. That's what you're doing here. It's good to be here, to know that we've been healed and restored and made new in the Lord, and so we come here and sing and worship. Jesus' last words are this: rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Isn't that the way it always is? Faith. Your faith makes you well. True for them, true for us. Go. After this service, you're going to go from this place. Your faith makes you well. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.